Recording in progress.
All right, good evening. We'll go ahead and call the Public Safety Committee meeting for Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. to order. We have Chief Waddell, Counselor Washburn, Counselor Hancock, Committee Member Olson, and John Edwards is excused tonight. Do we have any changes to the agenda? All right. Approval of the September 5th, 2023 minutes. Everybody get a look at those.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for September 5th, 2023.
I'll second.
All right. Motion's been made to approve the minutes for September 5th, 2023 by Councilor Washburn and approved by Todd Olson. Any public comment on items not listed on the agenda? You're the only one that can talk. Unless somebody's on the phone, you can press pound six or star six?
Star six.
All right. We'll go to departmental updates.
All right. So we're going to start tonight with staff. So the last council meeting, the council approved contract for our school resource officer. Our school resource officer started the following Monday in the schools and has been in the schools ever since. So we don't know, it was Janet Deckard that was put into the process, and she was selected as our school resource officer. So so that happened. We are in the process of our accreditation renewal, but since I'm new and we have a lot of evidential stuff that we need to take care of in our inventory and policies and procedures, I've asked and then granted a six-month diversion on that, basically waiting for 6 months for that to do. Hiring, our community, our dispatchers are in currently into background. So we have three of them in background. They should be coming out of background next week, probably late like next week or early the week after. And hopefully we'll have to know if we have offers to give out for jobs. So we have two openings currently, but we took three to background just to make sure that we would have an extra if we need one. Officers, Deputy Chief was given a stack of applications, and we opened up the process as soon as I got back here, got my foot on the ground. We opened up openings for officers, and I think we're up to Eric. Was it like 35 officers? 30 something. If you're listening.
Yeah, the 20 people, roughly 20, said that they're still interested.
Okay.
So we're taking interviews on the 16th and 17th, or 17th and 18th of this month, or interviews.
Okay, good. So we have interviews coming up on the 16th, 17th and 18th, with 20 individuals. Going to put them, I think, through a testing process first in order to make sure that they are the applications that we want and we need for the Junction City Police Department. The Academy, if you're not familiar with the Academy just approved a 60-person Academy class, which is just, I'm not sure how they're going to pull it off, but which opened up room for other Academy classes to get some room. So it's, instead of being a 6 to 7 month wait, it's still like a 4 to 5 month wait for to getting applicants into our Academy classes. So we will get them on board as soon as we can. Hopefully we have some quality people that we can bring on, and then we'll start training FTEP in-house and then get them off to the Academy when the dates become available. So the way that I see it is that we'll never go solo before they go to the Academy. So we'll just keep them in training and keep speaking into them, mentoring them, and getting them where they need to be before they go to the Academy. We've had some kind of changes with our ESCOP program. We only had two applicants out of the basically the two processes opening that we opened up for them. So we ended up with two applicants. We're gonna probably come back to you at the next meeting and do a revision to the job description. And really that change is probably gonna look like just taking that age requirement out and just looking for volunteers. Mm-hmm. Because there's several people in the community, somebody that works at the fire department that said that they would be willing to come in and help out on certain things, but they don't fit the current job description, which is, I think it was 52 and above, and you must be retired. So what if we just have somebody that wants to come in after work 4 days a week or 2 days a week? Then we're missing those opportunities. And if you're below 52, then we don't get an opportunity to have someone that really wants to care about our community and give back. So the bureaucracy wheels are turning on that, and so I know some of you wanted that done sooner, but I also don't want to open up a program, spend our time and our resources on only two applicants that may or may not pass our backgrounds and our process to get them on board. So that's a process that we're continuing to work through. Our sergeant, Sir Ronald, will be heading that when it gets to up and running and we get a process going there. Other staffing issues. We're projected to maybe get one of our dispatchers back from parental leave in January. But then for a short period of time, one of our other dispatchers will go on parental leave shortly after that. So we're still down, and that doesn't even include the numbers of dispatchers that we have. We were talking earlier about needing two, so we're looking at really being down three, but having the ability to try and get them on board, trained, and on their own. So we're looking at using Lane County for our evening dispatch for quite some time. You have the stats in front of you. Kind of looking at our stats, we had 714 incidents that were recorded in the city over the last month. We made 8 arrests, which is down significantly from the previous month. We had 81 traffic stops and issued 36 citations. This month we did get some feedback about trying to engage travel trailers and RVs and utility trailers a little bit more aggressively. We've started to do that. Some of these people that own these trailers and these utility trailers are moving them 10, 15 feet, and then the next day they move them back. So they know we're chalking the tires and looking at them, and they just are being difficult with us. So parked vehicles, kind of sometimes we refer to them as abandoned vehicles, but usually I kind of look at it as just parking issues with vehicles, suspicious vehicles that might that get called in. However, we're engaging with them. Anything that looks like we're 72 hours of continuous hours on the street. We did 39 calls for service or self-initiated activities with those vehicles. 6 of those were impounded, which is like 65% compliance rate on that, which, you know, at the beginning last month we were at 85%, and so I think now we're going to continue to run into people that are a little bit more stubborn. So the amount of vehicles percentage-wise that we've towed went up, and therefore our compliance rate actually went down, which still 65% compliance on something like that is still a pretty good number, I believe. So any questions on either hiring or this vehicle stuff?
Would an ordinance in regards to the people who are moving 10 or 15 feet where a more pointed ordinance saying, you know, within a block or whatever else, those vehicles could be still cited for illegal parking if they're over the 72-hour period of time?
Yeah.
Would that be something?
It could be something that we'd have to run that through legal and figure out how do we determine if the person just didn't drive off to a store and come back and went away for a day and then came back, and then how did but right now we're in compliance with the state laws, so then you take us, we have a kind of this umbrella covering from state law, then you move it to back to the cities and figuring out that if we're in compliance. But I know other cities have done that. I don't know what kind of success they're getting out of having ordinances that are more specific to, like, you need to move it significantly. I know from the previous agency that I came from, We used to have it that they, you know, back in the days when you could actually look at the odometer, it would actually have to roll over, mm-hmm. which nobody even knows what that means today. But so we actually had to, we actually could look at the car and say, oh, it moved one mile. So that was our threshold. But things are a little bit different today. But you're right. We, it, you know, we could address some of those probably with some city ordinances.
I think in the case of the ordinance, you have to look at the intent of the law that we currently have, right? And it says 72 hours on the street. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of worked through this issue before you even came here.
Yeah.
And there was really, no, especially with RVs and trailers with the garbage in them, there was no move at 15 feet and it starts the clock over again.
Yeah.
And so we already worked through all of that. And so I think the ordinance we have probably would suffice. A little bit more difficult with a vehicle that drives away and comes back every day, you know, because that truly could be the truth, right? And so people aren't necessarily violating the 72 hours. RVs, trailers, easier to enforce. And I'm not sure that we need to modify the ordinance for that. You can take a look at that, but it seems pretty cut and dry as what the intent was, not to use the streets for storage. The other thing is you mentioned training. And I'm curious if you've had a chance to look at the FDEP program and what kind of condition we're in.
I did. It's going to come up here in a second on the training, but we can talk about it now.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
So with FTEP, so that was kind of my bread and butter where I came from. I ran our FTEP program for many years. I was a field training officer. So Frontline, I mentioned it last, I think it was last meeting. We purchased Frontline, which is a which is going to be an online DOR thing. They can run it out of the palm, out of their phones. They can run it off their laptops. It can be in the car next to them as they're going through it. So it's basically online. We can do our DORs like they're supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be approved by a sergeant, and then a, well, if our you know command structure probably have to be approved by the deputy chief, and then approved by myself. So everybody will have their hands on the DORs instead of just being a paper document that floats around somewhere or an electronic document that that we can't look at or. Compared to other recruits, other coaches. So the program that we've installed in our department will actually, you know, compare and contrast, you know, basically eventually as we get enough data, we'll compare FTOs to other FTOs and recruits to recruits based on a myriad of different variables. So the problem that Junction City PD has right now is the lack of coaches.
Yeah.
So that's going to be our hurdle. If I need to, one of my best friends is a FTEP instructor. I'll bring him down, you know, buy him coffee and
nice.
Some pizza,
yeah.
And he'll train us for a couple days to get some of our officers. We have, as you may know, our officers are very young. You know, our most tenured person is going to retire at the end of November. Then we end up having, you know, Eric, then Fernando, and then you go from Tyler down. It's probably only been here 4 or 5 years. So,
yeah.
You know, you're going to have what the term that we use is babies, training babies. And so we're going to run into, so this program will help me, help us have our fingers on it a little bit closer, than, and so we'll be able to monitor it a little bit better. And if I need to, I'll get in a car and train. So, anything else on FTEP?
Thank you for that.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Do we have it on the books about extension cords running across the street to RVs?
I would assume you'd have, that there's something in the ordinance for that. The equipment running all the way across the street, not just
no,
on the sidewalks?
Well, I've seen them all the way across the street, and I've seen them from the house to the RV crossing a sidewalk.
Yeah,
which is yeah. a major trip hazard.
Sidewalks becomes a trip hazard, and we can probably use city ordinances for the trip hazards. And obviously, if they're running across the road, that's definitely something we can enforce. One of those things that you know, if anybody's listening, one of those things that we need the community to do is call those things in. Sometimes they get into a where they complain to their neighbor, or they complain to other people, and it never gets to us. So we don't know these problems that exist. We'll stack 20 of these calls deep, and we'll get to them, prioritize them when we can. So nobody's really bugging us and overwhelming us if they call on things that need to be addressed. You know, our officers will prioritize their work. They'll go out and take the priority calls, and then they'll come back and they'll slowly chip away at all these lesser priority calls. So it's important that just people know that they can call us and report these things so that we can get to them.
What would be a reasonable response time then? If somebody calls in a code enforcement action.
Right now? Currently?
Yeah.
You could get an officer there in a few minutes or half an hour, 45 minutes, I think is, you know, we have one officer on and they make an arrest. They could go off to Lane County Jail and back. It would take them over an hour. So that's some of the problems that we run into is just how we have our staffing. You know, there's going to be a time on Thursdays where our officer has to come off the street and be bailiff in our municipal court. So that's a 4-hour time that they're not available for low priority calls. So there's a lot of things that, you know, that take our time away from what we're supposed to be doing. And those are the things that I'm hoping that we get less and less of and let our officers go be officers. So. Yes, go ahead.
So ordinance 8.10.060, sidewalk defect in dangerous place. And I think that might fit the having cords across them. It basically calls for owners to keep those free and clear and
yep.
not have any hazards.
Yeah.
So that's on there.
Okay. Thank you. Random person in the audience. Yeah.
What was that ordinance? I just want to jot it down.
8.10.060.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
I've pretty much read that thing over 2 or 3 times back in the day. So
that's right.
Not much has changed with it.
No. If you read on the force prior to 1972, you could say there was a lot of change. As you can see, if you're following along in our notes, the animal update. So we've had this long running issues with animals in the Junction City Police Department. There's a couple things that that we've been working on is trying to get a contract with the Greenhill Humane Society so that we could take the animals there. We have we now have a document in our possession that we got from them as the starting grounds for a contract. There were some questions that we would have had it available tonight, but there were some questions that I had on it and I asked for some clarification, which came in yesterday, I believe, but so the next meeting we should be able to have a discussion on that. But currently we still have the Husky in our possession, and there's just nothing that we've been able to figure out how to get it adopted, how to get it. This Husky predates me here. So,
is this the one that keeps running away, coming back, running away, coming back?
Well, it ran once on my watch and then, but it hasn't ran since.
Okay. I thought it ran from Public Works too, maybe.
Yeah, he ran from Public Works twice, okay. I think. He's a master escape artist. Actually, it's a she. So, but we did take it to the vet, we've taken it to the vet and gotten it medicine and got it checked out. And stuff. So, we are trying to take care of it the best we can, but it's not the right facility and conditions for any animal. So, we're working really hard to get that done. Again, bureaucracy means that I have to come to you in a month, then that has to go before council. And then, so it just takes time to get things done. So, we'll get that hammered out and squared away. I added this kind of training note because I think it's important that you know what we're doing in the police department is what kind of trainings that we're going through, things that we're working on, and things that we're hopefully going to have hopefully in the next month or next two is what we're trying to put together at the police department. So. We have a new LEDS rep, so our previous LEDS rep left, and so Connie, one of our dispatchers, has become our new LEDS rep, so she went away for a 3-day class at conference, help her to get connected and get some training on that, and it's not an easy thing for anybody to grasp, especially somebody as old as me and not as technical as savvy as I am. When I came aboard, we had to choose between web LEDS and LEDS 2020. So we went to LEDS 2020, so we are now only doing LEDS 2020. So that may not mean anything for a lot of people, but it's just the way in which we get our teletypes and we enter our LEDS, which is our law enforcement data system, how we enter our warrants, how we get our any kind of communication with other agencies. So we're glad that she volunteered, so she went off to that. So on Tuesday the 26th, we had Lane County District Attorney's Office, two investigators came out and trained almost the entire department in the firearms. We got them all qualified in our patrol rifles, our handguns, and our shotguns. So one of the things that I thought was important that we had a baseline to make sure that everybody was qualified. And then we didn't, there were some a couple other drills that we had time to do, but for the most part, everybody's qualified. Fernando, or Sergeant Serrano, had an eye surgery, so he sat out that one, but we'll get him trained up shortly. They said offered to come back. And for those that you might wonder that that was in our own range, Public Works did a great job getting it cut and ready for us so that we were out there. We were out there for 5 or 6 hours and didn't receive one complaint. So I think that's I was worried that we were, with all those houses approaching out there, that we'd get a ton of complaints, but we didn't get a single one. You guys may have in the community, but they didn't call us. So you may know, but Officer Marler went off and got taser trained, so he's going to do a taser refresher for us. Kind of one of those learning curves for me is I'm used to having a training class and training everybody at once. At a smaller agency, that becomes really difficult. So we're going to have him go train everybody individually, and if that might mean a little bit of overtime for him. But he'll meet them where they're at on their shifts and get them all trained for taser refresher. So those are one of those things that we're moving forward to. The DA's office has already offered to help us with some DA domestic violence investigation training. You know, domestic violence laws is one of those things that changes quite rapidly, and how we need to best practices in our investigations. And those kind of things need to be addressed and updated on a continual basis. So I haven't planned that, but they've been super eager to help us out with that. So we're going to get that done hopefully soon. I did go to a two-day conference, Chiefs Conference, up in DPST last week. Mingled with a lot of bigwigs from chiefs and sheriffs all over the state. Some of the interesting things that came out of that is some of the legal updates around the reform to Measure 110, and also, which is the legalizing drugs, if anybody's not familiar with Measure 110. And there's a big push to do some reforms or repeal some of the segments of that. So they had a good discussion on that. And then Senate Bill 114. And both of these are going to have drastic impact on law enforcement in the city, depending on how they do that. So 114 is the Second Amendment, attack on Second Amendment rights. So, and with Senate Bill 114, depending on how that happens, it means that each agency will have to figure out how to license gun owners. And that's just going to be a huge headache if that happens. But we'll do whatever the state decides on those. Any questions on any of that training stuff? No. If you're interested, I did do the highlights for the stats and logs again, kind of highlighted the bigger things that we do on a monthly basis. We do have the fire chief in here, and we've assisted you 15 times apparently. So, you can comment on that, sir.
No. You're getting better stats than my guys are. I think we have you guys, we're running a call with you guys, I think 6 times what I saw on the.
Yeah, we are a little bit more sneaky, so we sneak up on you.
Somewhere in the middle is a.
Yeah. So the stats are there if you have any questions on some of the things that we're doing. I highlighted the stuff in pink is stuff that our SRO might be dealing with from now on, now that we have an SRO in place. So DHS referrals, as you can see, we had 17 last month. That's quite a few. Some of these DHS referrals are take only a few minutes, but some of them take hours and get in-depth investigations upon. So there's quite a few things in here that I highlighted as, you know, some of them are community of interest, you know, like the overdoses. Fentanyl continues to be a big issue in our community.
That's where we're missing with the tracking, is we don't title those as PD. It's encompassed in that call, type of call.
Okay.
So that's where that 9 call difference is.
Yeah, we have a bunch of different call types. So. Any questions on the stats? That's department updates. I think that's it.
I'm going to say 17 is actually a really low number.
17? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hopefully that's. I don't think we want any of them. I think zero is a good number.
Zero is a good number. The hotline gets 1,200 to 1,500 calls a day.
Yep.
It's crazy. But yeah, 17's pretty good. One thing I want to say real quick, I apologize. Deputy Chief Markell is also on the line, and I don't think I mentioned your name, so I apologize for that. So we'll add him to the attendance. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then any other questions about departmental updates? Then we will go ahead and go to discussion on department vehicles.
All right, so the council, the committee asked for a little update on the committee, on our vehicles and where we're at. So currently we have 6 vehicles assigned to patrol. 3 of those vehicles are 2009 Chevy Tahoes that each of them have 128,000 miles or more on them. There's a list, if you get attached to your guys' thing, about, I think, mileages on all of them except for Bonner's car, because he was on vacation, so we didn't get his mileage down on his car. But so 3 of those are Chevy Tahoes, and 3 of those are 2017 Chevy Tahoes and Dodge Chargers. So we don't really have a definition of services or administrative within the police department, but I did break 4 of those vehicles that we have in what I would call services division. We don't really have that as a true title, but that's 4 vehicles and 1 trailer. And as you can see there, there's a vehicle assigned to the school resource officer. There's one assigned to the chief. There's one, an SCOP vehicle that's back there, and then we have 1 spare. The 1 spare that we have doesn't have a radio in it, but the good and bad part is we just had a vehicle totaled, so we're going to take the radio out of that one and put it in this one. So we'll have a spare that actually has a radio in it from moving forward. Surplus. So that really makes 10 cars, I believe, is our total vehicles in the department, and a trailer. And then we have kind of a big fleet of motorcycles. So we have 4 motorcycles. 1 was already being surplus. And there's 3 motorcycles at the police department currently. I put 2 of them onto a surplus website, auction site, today. And we're probably going to just get rid of our motorcycle fleet for a while until we are ready to bring it back. We currently don't. Eric is the last motorcycle certified officer that we've had. I don't think, Eric, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you're not planning to get your helmet on and go out and write tickets. But we would need to get someone trained. And with the age and our tenure of our department, I just don't think we're ready for that.
No.
So we'll win, and if we're ready, we'll go out and we'll get the right equipment. We'll get new equipment, and we'll do it right. So we're just going to scrap everything and start over. So that's where we're moving in the department. So if you're in the market for a police motorcycle, they're on the auction site. So I put down here a need. So we're in the department. We're looking at trying to figure out what our need is. Those Tahoes are all past their functioning time. We need to eventually figure out how to get rid of those Tahoes now, whether or not we replace them with Tahoes, or something other than that. A lot of other places are running the Ford Interceptor or Explorer. Some people will call them Explorers. The Charger is still an option out there. And there's just not very many people that are wanting Crown Victorias anymore.
I know.
I know you do. So there's not a big fleet of those out there. But, so we, some of the options that we're looking at is replacing the Chief's car, which is a 2017 kind of unmarked Charger that for some reason is fully equipped with every gadget that you need to have. And it's more suited to be a patrol car. So we might get it marked, we might get it marked. So trying to figure out a way to make it maybe a potential duty car. And then find something else for the Chief. And it could be an Explorer. You know, it doesn't have to be a pursuit rated necessary vehicle, but it'd be nice if it is, because I do wear a uniform quite often. If it's needed, then you should have a car that's rated that way. But the other needs in the department is we would like to have a truck, right? When we ran out to the first responder picnic, we have no vehicle that holds tables. We have no vehicle that, you know, so we had crammed everything into the nooks and crannies of all of our vehicles to try and get everything out there. So it'd be nice to have a truck. It would, you know, so there's a lot of options that we're looking at. The vehicle that was destroyed, totaled, there is money that comes back to the police department for that. So we're going to use that plus some of the funds that we have, maybe some funds, some of these vehicles that we're surplusing, and try and find at least one vehicle that we're going to purchase this fiscal year, and then try and get on a recurring plan to buy one every fiscal year until we're probably forever.
So, we can make a good purchase on a blue Prius.
A blue, yeah. I think the fire department needs one of those.
We're good.
Oh, okay. Any questions on that?
They don't carry enough water.
Huh?
They don't carry enough water.
The Priuses don't?
Yeah. They just...
If you run into a puddle, they do. So you have the list of our current vehicles. The trailer may be something that we're getting surplusing yet. We haven't made a decision on that.
Is that the evidence trailer? Is that what you're
talking about? No, the evidence trailer. The plan for the evidence trailer would be as soon as we remove that, the utility trailer that's sitting back there and our motorcycles out. I would love to be able to pull that evidence trailer back inside our place.
Yeah, I would think.
So, I have to look and see. There's some wires that run across our back lot that may be problematic. We might have to move them and get that trailer. But we're renting a trailer, so long term, I would love to be able to get evidence in house. So, but until then, having the trailer sitting out for everybody to poke at and look at is not ideal. So get that leased within our fence would be ideal. So there's plans in place to start that. So any other questions on that?
All right, we'll move to, anybody have any questions online?
The bus?
The bus.
We don't own the bus anymore. I don't know where the bus is. Last time it was driving somewhere up in Washington State somewhere with our with our license plate on it. So.
Is it like the ambulance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it kept the license plate too.
Yeah. So I don't think the bus is in our possession anymore.
Okay. Good.
Good. Eric, did you know anything more about the bus?
I don't. Last I heard it was stole. That hasn't been verified yet.
Did you say stole or sold?
That's a debate. No, I heard it was sold.
As long as it doesn't have a trailer behind it.
Yeah.
As long as it's not trailer parked in the city yet.
I was thinking about yours.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move to building updates.
So I just added this. I think this is going to be kind of maybe a recurring theme in our department updates. So kind of prioritizing our building. And those that you may not know, our building has a kind of what I kind of refer to as the annex of the two storefronts that were purchased by the police department in last year's budget to kind of help us with our spacing issues. So there's just not money in the current budget for us to do a lot of work on there. So with the money that we do have in our budget, I've taken the steps to get three bids to finish the front of the building because it's an eyesore. So we have two bids that are currently that I have in my possession, but I also have looking for one more bid to come in. It seems to be very difficult to get contractors out to get bids on stuff. So the kind of the idea, so that you guys are aware, is that I'm trying to get two bids, one to make it look like the existing building, but nobody does the stucco stuff that we do on this building anymore, so that's super expensive in order to do it. The other version would look something, would make it look like a building of itself, a new face on it, something maybe similar to what the gun store on the corner looks like. So lap siding, kind of modernized, you know, but still, if you look at that annex, it still looks like it's an old building, and trying to keep that kind of character to it. So that at least looks like it's not an eyesore, and people can't look at it and say, what are they ever gonna do with that thing? Because it looks really bad. So we're going to do that. I think with the city administrator and I, and we're talking about a bigger vision of the department and looking at both spaces combined. I don't think that the plan that was envisioned for that space is ideal for us. So, you know, I could save $7,000 by not making a lobby on that side of the building and just leaving our lobby there, maybe expanding our lobby. So there's just a lot of options that when it comes to pertaining to our building. So we're just gonna take little pieces at a time. We're gonna get the front fixed, make it look nice so people don't blame us for you know, having a homeless camp in our own city building. But we also want to be able to finish that patrol room. If you've been in our patrol room, there's stuff that's not finished. And so at least get the patrol room done, get the front done, and then we can, because that patrol room will probably always stay a patrol room. Any vision that I have, I don't think it would change. I think it's important that we just continue to have this conversation and that you know what we're doing inside the police department. So, any questions?
Real quick. Oh. I was just going to say one thing. We, Administrator Canope and Chief and I met last week or the week before to kind of talk about the budget a little bit. And so when we were doing that, one thing we found is that the police department's actually built on a slab, concrete slab. So that's kind of, I think that we figured that part out. So there's, so some stuff, we're going to have that different level in there from dispatch to the patrol room. And
yeah.
So they'll be a little bit different because then you go to the other building and it goes down.
I think it's going to be the same.
Is it going to be?
It's going to be the same, but there's a like an 18-foot gap between the buildings.
Yeah.
So architecturally and structurally, we'll have to figure out how that looks. The original plan was just to put a couple hallways through that space. You know, we're going to get an architect or a structural engineer out to look at it and see what our options are for that. You know, probably the next thing on my list would be to make sure that the building's not flooding anymore. So we're going to figure out what's causing the flooding and put an end to that. So.
Are you looking for a third contractor?
Yes.
I'll talk to you after.
One that would just show up and give me a bid. I can't even get that to happen.
I know somebody, so.
All right.
All right. Anything else on building?
Is it the back room that's flooding?
No, it's the old patrol room.
Yeah.
Far corner where the two buildings come together.
Mm-hmm.
It just, when it heavy rained, it hasn't flooded since I've been here, so I can't see it, I can't track it down. But you can tell on the floor where it's stained and been flooded for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So if in the future that we, and that's something that's going to be probably added to the future conversations for us as a committee, is that we're looking at hopefully in the beginning stages of adding an administrative assistant or an executive assistant, something to that, something in the department to help us with all the administrative work. But currently is either being done by Eric or myself, or being piecemeal to some officers that probably shouldn't be doing that and everything. So we need to have an office space, so it would be nice to not have one that floods at his or her feet. So we want to be able to make sure that, that we have a good space for them. And so we would love to be able to fix the flooding problem and fix that patrol room up so that, or the old patrol room up so that we can maybe have another body in there. So. Any other questions?
All right, we'll move to committee member comments. We'll start with anything from Deputy Chief Markell.
I don't have anything.
All right. Councillor Hancock?
Oh, I just wanted to thank you for this briefing. It was succinct but thorough and covered everything that we needed to hear. And I do appreciate it, and I think that your priorities are spot on. You know, you're definitely moving everything in the right direction, and you seem to have it all laid out, and you know, that's that veteran status. You know what you need to address first and where to go. And I think there's probably a mountain of information that you face every day, but I think you're doing a great job of taking it apart and putting priorities against it. So it's greatly appreciated. So I do look forward to seeing, I know it's minuscule on the grand scheme of things maybe, but these RVs and trailers, especially the trailers with the garbage sitting in them, you know, sitting out on the streets, and then the longer trailers and RVs sit on the streets, the more of an attractive nuisance they can become, and then you end up with bigger problems. And I want to thank Brandon for being here tonight. It's always good to see him. And, you know, thanks for all that you guys do. You know, I always appreciate it. I have an off-the-cuff question for you.
That's what I'm here for.
Oh, no. You don't have to know the answer to this, but I'm just curious. When you fight a house fire, any idea how many gallons of water you go through?
It's directly tied to the crew and how efficient they are with the water, but depends on the type of fire. I mean, if we're talking about room and contents, 50 gallons.
Whole house.
The whole house, we're going to be putting, I would say a good number to use would be like 9,000 to 10,000.
Okay.
It's not as much as you would think.
Yeah, right. It actually is less than what I thought, yeah.
It because we're in the city and we have a hydrated system, so mm-hmm. we can generally get water going faster. If we're out in the rural area, it's a little different story. You know, because we have to bring it.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So, yeah. You know, just depends on how much you have access to and how big of streams we could use. And we just don't have that luxury in the rural area, so
sure.
It's a little bit more of a challenge. But it's so variable. It really depends on who's applying it.
I can see that. Yeah, definitely.
So training, we try to keep everybody trained up. But, you know, we're a largely volunteer department, and, you know, since these guys aren't doing it every single day of their life, you know, it can be a bit rusty. It comes together, and we get the job done. Some of them go really awesome, and, you know, we get to high five, good save. You know, some of them, they're just beyond help by the time we get there out in that area. So it's very rare that we get a, you know, structure that can burn completely to the ground in the city, because we can usually get on it pretty quick and with an unlimited water supply.
Sure, yeah.
So those are...
Oh, that's... Really, appreciate the information.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors, but...
Oh, I'm sure there is. Yeah. Thank you, Brandon.
All right, Councillor Olson.
No comments. Thanks.
All right. Councillor Washburn.
I just like the fact that you're giving this complete report that's very understandable, quick and easy to understand, and that's really appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have anything else. This is great. I took two pages of notes. So come council meeting, I was writing so fast, you're probably going to have to jump in a lot and correct me on everything. But
remember what I said.
We went over a lot of stuff tonight. Like you covered a lot of stuff, which was great. So I think that's awesome. I think that's what everybody wants to hear, what we want to see. Thank you for that. Agenda forecaster review.
Yeah, I do have some things that were...
Oh, sorry. I did.
Go ahead.
I'm doing great at skipping people.
No, I was going to just jump into forecaster.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
During this pause, I will say I appreciate being invited. I was invited to be here by our new chief.
I was going to let you talk in a minute.
You don't want to do that.
I was going to give you your own time, Brandon.
Hey, you guys want to go home?
Okay, for agenda forecaster.
As we talked about it last time, this is kind of a new thing for me. I'm trying to figure out what needs to go on it. Where, you know, so I would have talked about panhandling tonight. I just didn't get it done because that was something that was brought up last meeting. I just didn't get enough. I didn't have enough time. It kind of fell down on my list, and that's not to say it's not a priority, but there's just a lot of things that I have 110 things on my list this morning, and I finished today with 120. So I'm just trying to put those fires out, but it's on my list. And so what I was trying to do is put some stuff on this agenda forecaster that I feel that would be continual issues that were going to come up. And then I have some things just today that need to still be put on it, but I didn't want to change anything on paper until we've discussed it here.
And I think at F&J, we're going to talk about some of the needs for the department too, get some of that taken care of.
I have something I'd like to put on here.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be a lot of work, but I'd like to go through a bunch of the ordinances and see what we can update them with or whatever, because they haven't been done in who knows how long.
Yeah, and I think panhandling's a good one to start with when we do it. Our panhandling ordinance is like one sentence. So
I think it's important to talk about these positions, especially the administrative assistant. I think that I'm sure we'd all like to support, finding some help for you.
Yeah.
And so I think the sooner we can get that on the agenda, the better.
It'll be on the next one.
Well, okay, that's soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it'll be on the next one. So the city administrator, Knope, and I sat down and talked about it. Yeah, there's a need for some stuff that in this side of the building, which is the city side. And then, so maybe I won't be 100 a full-time position for the police department, but a little help is better than no help. So I'll take whatever we can get. So we'll talk. That'll be on the next committee meeting, and we can talk about it at length. I'll send you out kind of a needs list, what I believe this person would contribute to our agency. So that's one of those things that I was going to have.
And for the needs for the next meeting, they used to have a report, and I don't know what it's called anymore, but it was revenue versus expenditures. So we had a clear idea of where we stood originally when the budget was passed versus where we actually are today. And I'm wondering if you might be able to put that in the next packet, especially if we're going to talk about adding positions and things like that. It would be really good to have a clear
Well,
view of money.
I was told that there's normally a monthly financial update, kind of a budget update that normally gets put out to me as a department head.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike, finance director, has said that those things are coming. So I don't know if that's kind of similar to what you're looking at, but are you looking at something that how we're spending money today versus how we're spending money last year or the year, the previous budget?
No, and I don't think I've seen the document, but basically it is a document that, let's see, your police department is broken down into, I think, three sections, administrative, patrol, and dispatch.
And jail, too.
And what it would then do is reflect, what that report reflects, is each of those line items, and it shows what was originally passed versus what you actually have today.
Yes.
And that's kind of what...
I haven't seen one.
You haven't seen one, yeah. It used to be called revenue versus expenditures, and so you would know what the revenue was as opposed to what you actually have today. And it would just give us a clear perspective on how much money you have left in the personnel line items and wages and things like that. Yeah, right. So that we're not just blindly, I want to blindly support you, but yeah, I would like to probably do a little bit of homework on this and make sure the money's in place.
I will ask again, yes.
Oh, and we can always ask Jason, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it just has to be prioritized.
It's probably not that title anymore. is the problem. So
yeah, I know that's called something else. I bet you it's the monthly budget. Eric, do you know what the title of it is now?
I'm not sure. It's just a monthly report that Director Crocker puts out. It breaks down all four sections and an overall IMPD budget for every line item. He sends it out generally once a month, but it's been a while since I've seen one.
It probably shows the percent spent. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, it shows percentages as well as dollars.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure that's it.
Yeah, it would be helpful for me too. So I'll keep asking.
All right. So before we finish tonight, I'll give anybody on the phone if they would like to comment on anything. All right, Brandon, anything?
How much time do I have? So for anybody that doesn't already know this, I'm just gonna throw this out there, being this is my kind of first round with you all. A lot of people, and this is for the benefit of people listening too, I don't know how many people are on the line, but a lot of people move to the area and they don't realize that the fire department, since 2001, is no longer a part of the city. But a lot of people think of us as, you know, having part of your pie. But, you know, we're solely funded off of property taxes and, you know, it's completely separate from the city. So we're a rural fire district now. The city annexed, I think it was back in 2001 or 2000, one of those two. You might remember.
I don't remember
the exact year. But it just became, at that time, it became more cost effective and easier for us to conduct business if the city said, okay, you guys go be your special district, and then we became just our own taxing district, mm-hmm. much like the schools are, you know, mm-hmm. so that's how we operate. And we are also operating, so our tax rate is 98.9877 per thousand, and we operate with a 60-cent levy on top of that. Mm-hmm. We're a year into the levy renewal, so we're sitting pretty good as far as, you know, finances go. We've been able to spend the last 5 years updating our fleet, so we're sitting in good shape. We don't need a Prius. In fact, we got a couple things we probably surplus if you need to have any needs. I heard you need a pickup. So
you need a pickup.
So we've done pretty well in that area. So we've got good equipment. You know, I've got everything I need for the volunteers, and we're always looking at the latest technology and trying to keep up. And but what's really hitting us hard is the call volume. As the city's growing, and I mentioned this at a council meeting a while back, or maybe it was a planning commission meeting. When big business comes in, you know, like a Tractor Supply, that's not really a difficulty for us because they don't attract a lot of calls. But when we bring in a lot of housing, which is what we're doing right now, mm-hmm. it's having quite an impact. We're still down a little on this year from last year, but last year we were coming out of COVID, so I can. But we're leveling off at about 2,200 to 2,300 calls a year. And for perspective, when I started 30 years ago, I think we were at 650 to 700. So it's a pretty significant increase. It seems to be going up 200 to 300 a year, some years. Most of it's EMS. And the interesting fact there is that we don't get a dime for EMS. We get mm-hmm. all of our tax revenues are for the fire protection. And so the thing that concerns me with it is that, you know, we've never stopped doing EMS. We might have to change how we do EMS at some point in the future because, you know, every time I have two folks, you know, that are paid staff on an EMS run, that's two less in the station when a fire comes in.
Right.
And it has happened a couple times. Then we're playing catch up. Luckily enough, we have good mutual aid agreements and auto aid agreements with our neighboring agencies. You know, typically anytime we catch a fire, you're gonna see not just Junction City there, but you're gonna see if it's to the north, you're gonna see Harrisburg, or if it's out west, you're probably gonna see Monroe and Lane Fire Authority, and anything to the south is gonna be Lane Fire Authority. We have those agreements to supplement, you know, especially for those times when I've got two rescues out the door and it's just me standing at the station and the fire comes in and I'm thinking, okay, because the volunteers just don't have the time during the day because they're working their regular day jobs. It's not the way it used to be. So those are the things that we're fighting. We're keeping up. We're doing a good job with it, I think. The results are showing that we are. Our response times are, you know, I would say better than ever these days.
when I first took over as chief, we were at somewhere around 2 to 250 second toneouts a year, out of, at the time, 1,400 calls. And what a second toneout means is that it takes more than 5 minutes for somebody to actually go out on the call. You might remember that from your days as chief.
Yeah.
Dispatch waiting for us, having to tone us out again. And it's mainly because, again, it was back then, it was largely volunteer coming from home. So they got to get to the station, get in the rig, and then get out the door. And if that took more than 5 minutes, then they page us again.
Mm-hmm.
That happens maybe 5 times a year out of 2,200 calls now.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's some significant differences there.
Yeah.
It's helped that we've been able to put on more staffing, and I actually, with this levy, this cycle on the levy, my intention is to try and get us to 24/7 coverage, which we've never been able to do. And when I say that, I'm talking about a 4-person engine company for all 24 hours of each day.
Mm.
So that's our goal right now. It's what we're working towards. I need one more person to even think about doing it. And so we're kind of right now waiting to see what happens with the tax revenue that's going to come in November. We'll kind of hold our breath to make sure that we can manage that and not operate, in the red, just to staff those positions. So last 5 years was focused on fleet and tools. This next 5 years is trying to set us up for the future. And, who knows what that holds, and we're just going to try and stay ahead of it and, get out of fire season. Anybody that's listening, fire season's been extended this year until October 15th. So no backyard burning until that date. And even then, you still have to check the burn line to make sure it's a burn day. Thank El Reaper for that. But as soon as we can get out, get this rain is great. This rain is awesome. I'm loving it. But it's still, we're not out of the woods yet, because we're supposed to be back into the 80s next week. So, but it is nice to see some of the ditch lines starting to turn back to green again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just some of the things that's going on right now. I mirror what Mark just said. I start out my day with 100 things too, and it's probably 120 by the end of the day. You can never get ahead.
Yeah.
So, but we're going to keep chipping at it. Make it good. So,
do you know off the top of your head how many fentanyl cases that you guys run on your medical call?
We don't really track that. I could look it up by our overdose calls, okay. and if I had that sheet in front of me, it would be handy. Like I said, when you talk about how many times you guys assisted us, it probably is a combination of miscellaneous and then overdoses, because you're always going to be involved with overdoses here, and it's hard to actually identify whether it was or wasn't fentanyl.
Yeah, because it's fentanyl, usually doesn't come by itself.
But I can say that if Narcan was used and it had an effect, then you can pretty much guarantee it was fentanyl. Right. And that is the case with, I would say, maybe 90% of them, is the overdose-wise. So if Narcan has no effect, then you can rule it out. You can kind of rule that out.
Yeah.
I'll save some for next time.
Because I'm assuming you'll be invited to the next meeting, right?
Well, I was invited to this one, but I put it on my calendar now as a recurring thing.
So. Nice. Good, good.
So you'll have me whether you like it.
Good.
Just to piggyback on something you said, Brandon, which was a concern I think I've always had as well. As we grow, any city really, if you put in apartments, your calls for service go up and your revenue goes up. How much for that?
Well, in the case of apartment complexes, it actually goes down.
Mm.
Yes, we get money, but at probably anywhere from a quarter to a third of what we get if those were actual home sites.
Mm.
Because when that, it's based on assessed value, and so the assessed value of a 12-unit apartment complex might be a couple million dollars, but it only assesses out, at the rate of maybe 3 actual homes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you see increased calls with less money.
Yes, it's the density is going to equate to more calls. To give an idea of it, I think we've run 2 calls now out in the new part of the reserve. So the phase 2 that they're working on right now, and we haven't run any calls out there. It's been in production. They've had occupied homes for at least 6 months, so it hasn't brought that much. It will eventually, as it fills out, but That's what I'm kind of wrestling with right now is, you know, each, I like to say that each 1,500 square foot home in these times is probably worth around $350 per year per person, you know, for an average 1,500 square foot range home and a small piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about a third of that if it's if that same family is in a apartment complex. And so, yeah, it's an explosion of apartment complexes, and I don't know what those numbers look like yet. It's going to take a little bit of time, but that's the concern, you know, is that it just grows too fast, and what I'm going to end up having to deal with is a potential volunteer burnout, and then it's going to be all on us, and
yeah.
The paid staff right now, as it stands, covers for about 13 hours of the day. During the busiest times, but it still leaves about a third, anywhere from 25% to a third, where it's largely volunteer. And that's not talking about bigger incidents. You know, kind of everybody comes out of the woodwork for the bigger stuff, but I'm talking about EMS calls, you know, having somebody available at all those times. And, you know, I'm kind of the last line of defense. I hear every single call that comes out, and, you know, usually my wife is the one doing this, and I'm in my Tahoe and on the way to it, you know.
So, yeah.
Especially when they come in simultaneously or one right after the other. So, we'll get there.
Yeah, of course.
It's gonna,
yeah. Well, thank you for that, Brandon.
We're getting into new, uncharted territory for us having 24/7 coverage. It'll be kind of nice.
Great. Anything else? Everybody good?
I have one thing.
All right.
I forgot to mention, I know it's been mentioned a couple times at council and even in this committee about awards. You have been, nominated two of our employees for awards for a stabbing victim that walked into our lobby. I was notified this week that both our dispatcher and our officer are going to be receiving awards at this year's OPOA conference, which will be November 17th. It's a banquet, so we're hoping to get them there so they can accept the award, and hopefully I can work it in the schedule, or Eric can work it in the schedule. Somebody from our agency needs to be there to witness it, be honored, and get them honored, so to speak. So it's definitely a positive thing for our agency to be recognized on the state level like that. So,
Who is the dispatch?
Sheila.
Sheila.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Levi is the officer. So.
All right, and that's November 17th.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Great.
That's all I got.
All right. We will go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 7:37. 7:33.